I don't know how many of you have had the opportunity to go to a place called Carlsbad Caverns, but it is a place of some very, very deep caves. And there was a young family who had an opportunity to take that tour. And as they were about halfway through the tour in some of the darkest places in the caverns, their tour guide had everybody turn off their lights so they could get an experience of how dark being underneath the earth could be. Well, a little girl enveloped in such deep darkness for the first time became frightened and began to cry. Immediately was heard the voice of her brother who said, "Don't cry. Somebody here knows how to turn on the lights." What a great thing for a brother to say. I don't know if I would have done that. Probably would have teased her a little bit or something like that. But what a great brother in the midst of his sister's needs. And you know, that's one of the things that we celebrate here today, this Christmas, isn't it? That we celebrate the reality of light coming into the midst of a great darkness. Not only a great darkness on the day that Jesus was born, but also a darkness in which we find ourselves in the present moment in so many different ways. St. John of the Cross, who was an incredible follower of God, a mystic, wrote a poem, and one of the last lines of that poem reads like this: "If you want, the Virgin will come walking down the street, pregnant with light." I love that phrase, pregnant with light. Never been pregnant before. Not going to happen. I've seen people pregnant. My wife has been pregnant. And you know, when someone is pregnant, they're full, aren't they? They're full of life, literally. And in this particular poem, and even in the word that we hear from Isaiah today, we hear this whole word about being full of light and life. That's what Isaiah proclaims when he shares, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned." And this is wonderful news. This is great news for them and for you and me as well. The good news for you and me is that this light is meant to be available to us in the darkness of our own lives and when we are going through, if you will, valleys of shadows of death. It doesn't necessarily have to be when the end of our life comes, but shadows of death can happen in so many different ways, can't they? You know, like that little girl in the caverns under the earth, darkness can be incredibly dark. I don't know if you've ever been in a darkness that you could feel, but I certainly have, both metaphorically and in reality, and it can be a very, very scary thing. And one of the most important things that we need to know in those kind of situations is, who can be our source of light? Who can guide and lead us in some of the darkest moments of our life? Very important question. I don't know if you knew this or not, but Isaiah's prophecy that was read today in our first lesson was actually spoken about 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. I was sharing this past weekend that there are over 300 prophecies specifically about him as Messiah that he uniquely fulfills. And this one in particular, Isaiah shares with us, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." I don't know about you, but in the midst of our current situation and the reality of all that is going on in our country in terms of darkness and in the world as well, in the midst of all of the violence that's occurring, all I can say in response to that prophecy is, thank God. You know, it can't happen and be birthed soon enough among us. We not only have someone who knows how to turn on the lights, but we have someone who is the light. It's just a matter of being willing to allow him to be that in our lives, a government of love and integrity. I think that's one of the reasons why so many people struggle with our current human forms of government, whether they're in this own country, our own country, or throughout the world, is that we all know that things could be better. And the government of Jesus Christ promises something infinitely better. I invite you to turn with me, if you would, in your bulletins to that first lesson in Isaiah and take a look at some of the descriptions of Jesus Christ in terms of his leadership, in terms of who he is as a person. First of all, he's described as a wonderful counselor. Now, if you were able to get a counseling appointment with Jesus, it would be quite an experience. It would be wonderful. It'd be awesome. He might say some things to you that'd be really encouraging. He might bring to light some things for you that you didn't want to see. But overall, it would be an incredible experience. But this idea of wonderful counselor also communicates the idea of someone who counsels wonderful things. You know, one of the things about Jesus is he knows our future. He knows what is going to come to pass. He even knows what our best next step is. And so that's what this is communicating, the whole idea of someone who is able to share with us the blessings and the opportunities that are uniquely ours in him if we will but walk in his light and follow him and listen to him. Mighty God, a divine king of wisdom and strength. And what this communicates is the idea that Jesus is the ruler, the ultimate ruler of all spiritual and earthly powers, powers that you and I can see, powers that you and I cannot see. He is the ultimate ruler over them all. And so again, it's important for us to have a relationship with him that is living and real if we ever hope to begin to address the depth of the things that we're facing, both spiritually and in the natural realms. Everlasting Father. He's the Father. He'll be your Father for all of eternity if you'll let him. A compassionate provider and protector for you throughout all of your eternity, through all of your existence. You know, some people have an idea of heaven being, we're just going to be on a bunch of clouds playing harps. I just have a feeling it's not going to be that way. I have a feeling that the Lord has more for us in eternity than you and I can even begin to ask or imagine. Now, I can't say that for sure, but it's just a feeling that I have, and I'm hoping for something better than playing an harp on a cloud. That's all I can say. Finally, Prince of Peace. As I prepared for our time together today, this has been the one description of Jesus that has just been standing out to me, given our present moment. I don't know if you knew this or not, but in the Old Testament, the word for peace is shalom. And that word shalom communicates the idea of not just a peaceful moment or a peaceful experience or a peaceful day or a peaceful walk along the Gulf Coast or a peaceful meal with somebody that you love, but rather that word shalom communicates the idea of a peace that is all pervasive, a peace that would envelop you intellectually, emotionally, physically, spiritually, relationally, a peace that is so deep and would so pervade your being that it would literally fill every cell within your body. That's a great peace. That's like, I'm ready to go to sleep peace. I just want to rest in this peace. It's like, I'm just going to be here for a while kind of a peace. All I feel is peace. That is the shalom of Jesus. And that is the kind of peace that he wants to bring us into. And that emanates from him. You know, one of the things about Jesus is wherever Jesus shows up, truly, peace breaks out. You know, if you and I really want to know what peace is about, if people really want to find peace in Ferguson and in New York City and in the Middle East and in their homes and in their relationships, I would submit to you that the first person we should be sitting down with is the Prince of Peace, period. He knows ways to peace that you and I can't even begin to see. He knows things that you and I need to do and ways that we need to step out in that would bring about peace in very powerful, substantial, and undeniable ways. I think one other thing that is important for you and I to realize in this moment in our world, in the midst of all that is going on, is that Jesus, this Prince of Peace, this Prince of Light, has no part of the world's darkness. He has no part of it. He's not a part of the violence. He's not about murdering people. He's not about the gossip and the deceit and the trickery. He has nothing to do with greed or dictatorship. He's all about peace and love and grace. There's a reason why the scripture says God is love, and that's because God is love. Don't make it more complicated than it is. It's much more simple than you and I realize. God is love. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he has absolutely nothing to do with the darkness of this world. What he has to do with it is overcome it. He's all about overcoming it through his church, the kingdom of God here on earth. And so as I near the end of my message here today, I have a question for you and me that I think is a very important question on this Christmas day. And as we approach the beginning of a whole new year, and the question is very simply this: do you want to be a part of his light? Do you want to be a part of his peace? Let me just share with you, as I ask this incredible question, this is like the turning point in my message, by the way. This is the crescendo moment, the most important turning point in the whole deal that I've been working up towards. So I'm at this moment last night at the 5 o'clock service. It is just jam-packed, kids screaming, yelling. It's just incredible. I asked this question. There was this pregnant moment, literally. And all of a sudden, from the back row, this kid, in response to this question, yells loud enough for everybody to hear, "No." And that was the response of everybody that was there. There was about 5 minutes of nonstop laughter. I asked the kid to reconsider. No deal. Then I tried to find out his name. I'm going to find that kid. He's probably an Episcopalian. I don't know, but I want to find out. I'm telling you, it's tough up here sometimes. But you know what? A number of us, upon further reflection, and thank God for the Holy Spirit in that moment for my response, because one of the things I mentioned was, in response to him, is that, you know what, there are so many people who throughout time have honestly given that answer to Jesus. They've said no to him. And so I was so thankful for that moment. We all laughed about it. It was an incredible moment for all of us, and even now. But it was a very important response, because sadly, the response of most of the world to Jesus has been no. And so I'm asking you here today, maybe for some of you who don't really have that maybe more personal, intimate relationship with Jesus, kind of come here today on Christmas as part of the family thing. I'm grateful for your presence, grateful that you're here with us today, but don't really have a deep and intimate, prayerful, in the scripture kind of relationship with God where you're part of a church family on an ongoing basis. I'm asking you here today, would you be willing to consider in this new year to move in a new direction and to be more fully part of the light? I want to ask all of you who are the beloved of God, who have been following him, who have been faithful to him, who are here week in and week out, you know, are faithful to the Lord. I want to ask you, are you willing, along with me, to move even more deeply in his light and what that means for you and me? You know, what does it mean for you and me to follow him more deeply as the Prince of Peace? I mean, really, what does that look like for you and me in a concrete relationship, or maybe in a family situation, or maybe in our work, or wherever you may find yourself right now? What does it look like for you to fully bend your knee before him, to surrender to him as the Prince of Peace, and say, "Prince of Peace, what would you have me do in this situation?" Well, I've been waiting for you to ask me that. I want you to just keep your mouth shut and not stoke the argument. or I want you to pray for this person and I want you to have mercy on them. That's the way to peace. Or I want you to be firm. I want you to stand up and be a witness for me and my love and just wait for them to come around. And you see, that's what it means for you and I to begin to walk with the Prince of Peace. It means we aren't maybe as harsh or reactive. It means that we're prayerful. It means that we're waiting. It means we allow him to direct and guide our lives in a way that is more peaceful and loving. And believe me, at least in my brief experience in doing this, he is very creative in terms of how he can bring about peace. It will involve you, and it will involve the situation. What would it look like for you and me to surrender to this Prince of Light? To more fully, in the coming of this new year, be honest about the sin that has had a hold of us like a monkey on our back and won't let go, and begin to pray into that. Begin to say, you know what, Lord, this thing just has kicked me up one side and down the other. It has me beaten. Prince of Light, will you please guide me more fully into your light? Would you bring your light more fully into the darkness of my heart? Obviously, there's a darkness here. Obviously, there's a sin here in my life that needs your light. Would you please come through another person, through something I read, through being in worship here in church? I'm inviting your light more fully into my life. Do you want to be a part of his kingdom? Do you want to be a part of his light and his peace? Beloved, there is an outbreak of darkness right now. You just have to be blind not to see it or to feel it. It is scary. People are losing their lives in this outbreak of darkness, in Ferguson and in New York and in the Middle East and in other places. And I just am concerned. My sense is it's going to get darker. But the Lord is reaching out to us on Christmas Day today. He's reaching out to you. And he's saying to you, will you partner more deeply with me? Will you come underneath my lordship in your life? Will you surrender to me in a way that is even greater for you? And be a witness to my light. Be a witness to my peace. Be willing to turn the other cheek. Follow me that I might lead you, that you might be my arms, that you might be my embrace, that you might be the vessel of my love, that you might be the vessel of my light into these incredibly dark and broken situations, that my kingdom would break forth. That is God's word to us and God's word to you in this moment. And what I want to say to you is your choice is very powerful. The choice that you make at this moment, whether it's a yes or a no, by the way, there's no maybe. It's light or dark. There's no maybe. It's yes or no. Whatever choice you make, you know, you and I will wake up a year, 5 years, 10 years from now, and we're going to be where we're going to be. And part of the reason why we're going to be there is because of the choice we've made in this moment about our relationship with Jesus. Choose well, my friends. Choose well. In closing, John of the Cross shares, if you want, the Virgin will come walking down the road, pregnant with the Holy, and say, I need shelter for the night. Please take me inside of your heart. My time is so close. Then, under the roof of your soul, you will witness the sublime intimacy, the divine, the Christ taking birth forever as she grasps your hand for help. For each of us is the midwife of God, each of us. Yes, there under the dome of your being does creation come into existence eternally through your womb, dear pilgrim. The sacred womb in your soul, as God grasps your arms for help. For each of us is his beloved servant, never far. If you want, the Virgin will come walking down the street, pregnant with light, and sing. I wish all of you a blessed, glorious, awesome, wonderful, full of celebration, food, joy, even more than you can think of kind of Christmas. And my prayer for each one of us as well is that we would say yes to our Lord and His light and His peace in a way like we never have before. And that it would fill our hearts with a song, with a new song, a song of joy, a song of hope, a song of light that overcomes the darkness, a song of believing, a song of rejoicing in the tents of the righteous. For our Redeemer has come, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Almighty's Messiah is the one that we serve. Amen, amen, and amen.